I've titled my sermon this morning, as you see, Amazing Grace. And there's probably no spiritual song better known than the song Amazing Grace. Now we all know the words, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. But do we really understand what grace is? Many think it's simply the prayer you say before meals, you know, saying grace. But grace is so much more. It's essential that we come to a better understanding of grace. But why is it so important to better understand God's grace? Well, partly because grace is totally contrary to human nature. Grace is a concept totally foreign to us. So this morning I want to answer the question, what's so amazing about grace? But before I do that, just raise a hand. How many graces do we have in church today? Just the one? Okay, well, you want to come up? Can you bring, Barb, would you bring her up for a second? Because I'm dedicating my sermon to all the graces present, especially Grace, because my secretary, Barb, that's her granddaughter, and this is part of being Secretary's Week. And so Barb, her granddaughter, gets special recognition today, as all the graces present would. So if you want to change your name, you can. But Grace, because it's your special day, I want you to have some candy. Now, everybody else is probably saying, well, gee, you know, that's not fair that Grace gets treated this way. But grace means that because Grace gets treated this way, everybody gets treated this way. So, Bugs, if you'd hold the candy down here, and all the kids, you can come forward and just stand at the center aisle. You guys can go back to your seat. I'll probably call you up some more. But you come on up and get a piece of candy. That's an example of grace. My goal is that this sermon this morning will help our graces and help each of us to know what grace means even better than we do now. So what's so amazing about grace? Well, I want to answer that by considering two things. First, a basic definition of God's grace, and then a broad description of God's grace. So let's start with the basic definition of God's grace. The most common way that grace is defined is God's undeserved love for us. The term grace is used over 200 times in the Bible. The first time in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, verse 8, first book of the Bible. The last in Revelation, chapter 22, verse 21, the last book of the Bible. The word in the Bible language means to bend down or to stoop. It carries the concept of loving those undeserving of our love. You know, it's kind of like this. When we direct our love upward, that's worship. When we direct our love outward, that's affection. But when we direct our love downward, love that bends and stoops is grace, and that is God's love toward us. For all of us are beneath God. All of us are undeserving of God's love. Now the book of Titus, chapter 3, verses 4 to 7, it says, "But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life." That's the theme verse of our baptism this morning. By the way, we're having baptisms. Bring the girls up, because Grace is an easy name. Bring the girls up, because I need to practice their names. So just bring the girls up. They're not going to get baptized right now, but We've got a gift for you. Okay, this is Grandma Sue. Grandma, would you kind of go over the names of all the girls just so we can practice them? You're going to help me with them in the baptism, right? Okay, well now I won't feel so bad. Okay. Will they put this in their mouth? Okay. Okay. Well, wow, that's okay. So you just take whatever you want there. It's money. Cold hard cash. Okay. So thank you. Let's give them a hand. They'll be coming back up for the baptism. And Bugs, you just hold that. Any kids that want to come up and grab some change, it's grace. That's what grace is. You don't deserve it, but you can go up and get it. Nobody's, what a tragic example of not accepting God's grace. Oh man. But anyway, so, okay. Grace is God's love flowing down to undeserving humankind like us. See, the good news is God doesn't love us because we are valuable. No, we are valuable because God loves us. So that's the basic definition of grace. But let's now consider a broad description of God's grace. And in considering a broader description of God's grace, I want to look at the root of grace and then some of the fruit of grace. But first, the root of grace. The root of grace is stated in John 3:16, a famous verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son. That is the root of God's grace. It's found in what God did for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's why God's grace is given to us. So that's the root of God's grace. But now, I'd like us to look at some of the fruit of God's grace. What does God's grace do for us? And a distinctive of John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, and a distinctive of Methodists, which we are part of throughout history, has been to identify the many different fruits or ways that God's grace is demonstrated to humankind. So let me mention six of those fruits of God's grace this morning. First, I call it the fruit of God's seeking grace. You see, God's grace always begins with God. Now in the book of 1 John, chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin." You see, God's grace comes first. God's grace is constantly seeking us. You know, God desires that all of us be in relationship with him and to know his great love for us. All of our lives, God's grace is seeking us. It's like the ad in the paper that ran. It said, "Seeking Lost Dog" was the title. "Seeking Lost Dog, Reward Offered." And then the ad read, "Mixed breed, limps due to auto accident and arthritic condition, blind in one eye, large patches of fur missing due to mange, ear missing due to fight with pit bull, answers to name Lucky." You know something? Ironically, that dog was a lucky dog. Why? Because his owner loved him in spite of his faults and was seeking to get him back. People, we are lucky dogs because God loves us in spite of ourselves and seeks us and calls us to be his children. That is seeking grace. But then a second fruit of God's grace is called saving grace. Now in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. When a person responds to God's seeking grace by giving their lives to God, they experience what's called God's saving grace. God's saving grace, made possible through Jesus dying on a cross, makes our forgiveness possible, makes a relationship with God possible, and saves us from eternal separation from God. You see, you can't be good enough to be made right with God. It is only possible through God's saving grace. And once a person experiences God's saving grace, then there's more grace given that stems from that. A third form of God's grace, or fruit of God's grace, is then God's perfecting grace. That is God's grace in our lives that empowers us to resist sin and to obey and to live for God. God's perfecting grace also empowers you to be forgiven when you sin so that you can continue to live for God. You see, Satan will always try to tell you or put in your mind, God won't forgive you, for what you've done is so bad. You've messed up too many times. Yet God's perfecting grace keeps reminding us that God continues to forgive us and gives us the power to start over. Then the fourth fruit of God's grace is what's called God's equipping grace. That's God's grace that equips and enables us to serve God. The Bible talks about the term spiritual gifts. The gifts that God gives us to equip us to serve Him. And that word for spiritual gifts is from the root word grace. Back in the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 6, it says it well. It says, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. Spiritual gifts are God's equipping grace to us so that we are able to serve God. You know, you heard Fred this morning share his music gifts with us. A product of God's equipping grace in his life. And I thank you so much for your willingness to always share that. Then the fifth fruit of God's grace is what's called God's strengthening grace. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 16, it says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Strengthening grace is available to us to get us through the toughest times of life. So often we ask, will God give us more than we can bear? See, that's the wrong question. The point is, no matter what this life may bring our way, no matter how bad things may get, God's strengthening grace is available to sustain us. It will sustain us through pain, whether it be physical pain, emotional pain, even spiritual pain. You know, how often you hear someone who has survived a particular trying circumstance ask the question, how do people survive without God? You see, those people have experienced God's strengthening grace. What does the song say? Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that's brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. And that leads into the final fruit of God's grace that I want to mention. And I call it God's dying grace. That is a form of God's grace that's made real at death. People will tend to face death in one of two ways, either with fear and uncertainty or with faith and peace. God's dying grace allows us to face death with faith that provides peace, hope, confidence, and assurance. How assuring it is to watch a person of God face death, voicing that they are ready to meet God and have God take them home. So many stories of Christian martyrs of the past reflect God's dying grace as they face death. And this dying grace is not only available to the one facing death, it's also available to friends and to loved ones. I know this past week that a man in our church was asked to do the eulogy of a good friend of his who died. And Craig asked me how I was able to make it through a funeral. It's God's dying grace available that helps us get through. I'm sure Craig found that grace to be available. In fact, I know he did. And I know many of you have similar stories of how God's dying grace has sustained you as your loved ones have faced death. My hope and my challenge to each person here this morning is to accept God's amazing grace in your life. Accept it, live in it, reflect it, share it. Again, reading the verse that Jeff started with this morning. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace is not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me.